Welcome to episode 9, The New You, Loss After Losing Someone to Suicide. I'm Dawn.
And I'm Trisha.
And today we're going to be talking about forgiving ourselves as a parent. So I think one of the things that we have been discussing is the things that maybe we feel we need to forgive ourselves for, and not necessarily that we have to do that, but we feel like we need to. For whatever reason, our mind seems to play tricks on us, and I think one of the things that I'll start with is maybe some of the arguments that we've had, even going back to their younger days up to the day that they may have died. I don't know that that played a part in the suicide. I don't think that our kids, you know, went back and said, oh yeah, I remember that fight when I was in third grade and you wouldn't let me go to so-and-so's house. But I think that we evaluate all of those things in our head and think that was something that maybe was going through their mind. How do you feel about that?
I agree. I mean, you could sit for days and think, if I'd have done this different, she would be a different person. If I wouldn't have spanked her as a child, or I didn't ground her, or I didn't push her so hard to finish everything she started. I mean, it could be endless for days and days. And this kind of plays back into our conversation we had a couple weeks ago about guilt. You know, forgiving yourself, it comes after acknowledging the guilt, and that's not something you could have changed. But it's hard. There's still days where there's so many things I wish I could have done differently. And I keep saying, if I'd done differently, would it be different? It's not going to be different. It is what it is. But until you forgive yourself, you're not going to get to that point where it just is.
Do you think a lot of people have a hard time forgiving themselves?
Oh, I would say most definitely. I think there's so many unknowns that comes with suicide. There's so many whys. Even with the letters, Morgan left letters, I didn't get the answers that I thought I needed. So it's the what ifs, all the things I don't know that make me question, was it some of it my fault, or should I have done it differently? It's all the unanswered questions that will constantly play through your head, that you will create scenarios, obviously, where this is all your fault. And I think it's just a human thing.
I know in talking to some of the parents that I have, a lot of them have found, you know, that they even talk to their child the day of, and they're upset because they didn't see it. You know, they say that suicide is preventable and we can change things. And I honestly believe that there are things that we can change about it, absolutely. But I also believe that at that point in time, they knew what their plan was and they didn't want to let on to that because they were afraid that they would be stopped. I think when you're in so much pain and suffering that they just want it to stop.
Right. And I do believe there's a certain amount of things we can stop or change. But I believe that comes, the only time we can do that is way before the decision is made. Mm-hmm. When the initial symptoms start happening or the signs, I believe once their decision is made, they do everything in their power to keep that from us so we don't stop them. She was here the entire day before she killed herself. I texted and spoke with her that evening before. That morning at 6 a.m., I called her and she answered the phone, and I beat myself up because I didn't feel anything. I didn't sense anything. She said, I love you, Mom. We talked about the baby. Everything was normal. I missed something, right? And then she texted me right up to 10 minutes before she texted me. And the messages she were sending was, I love you, Mom. Thanks for everything. I have to do everything for Walker. And she was going through life changes. So those were messages that would have fallen right into the context of the things that she was working on. And I didn't read into that. I didn't, you know, she said, don't call me. I don't want to cry before work. So I honored her wishes. Now I'm like, God, if I had called her, she probably wouldn't answer the phone. I mean, the last text message she sent to me, they figured she was gone within 10 to 15 minutes from that. So I had a very small window, and if I had been right beside her, maybe I could have changed it, but I would have changed it for that day. Could I have changed it for the next day or the next day? I'll never know, and it's a lot of the unknown that makes us, you know, go in circles.
I think we kind of talked, too, about, you know, there's a lot of different things that we feel like we need to forgive ourselves for. I think even jumping to the bigger picture, how How do you forgive yourself? What does that look like?
It would come with fully accepting that this is my life now, and that's hard. There's days I still struggle with that. Like, accept that you did the best you could with the time that you had, and some things are just out of your control. And for a person like me, who wants to control everything around her, that is terrifying, to just accept, like, I have no control. So I think acceptance has to definitely come before you can forgive yourself.
And I think forgiveness, too, is learning to love yourself, learning to, you know, maybe there's things I could have changed. Does that mean that I can't do that for my next child? No. I mean, I think relationships, I think, you know, not judging, just learning to love yourself. And that's, gosh, that's a hard job to do, especially, you know, and I know you and I have talked about, we're always doing for others. We don't take that time for ourselves. And if you don't do that, then how can you truly know how to love yourself?
And if you ask me today, do you love yourself? I would have to say, I'm not there, you know, because I do. There's still some things that I think I haven't quite accepted or I haven't forgiven myself for. You know, back to like the last episode, the friend that remembered me saying I had one job. Had one job. As a parent, you have one job. That's to keep them safe and protect them. I mean, that is the job. And you failed that one job. That's a lot to swallow. She was a new mom. And of course, I wanted to be there all the time. But you show up there and then you wonder if you're impeding. And so here I'm staying at home because I think she needs time with her baby. And the whole time she needed someone there. And I missed it. I didn't know because she didn't tell me. There's a million things. Like, you could just go on for days. And I think it does come back to a lot of, and we talked about my therapy. I started the therapy. And last week our session was about free passes we give other people. We give other people free passes to use us or utilize us. Or we take care of everything for them because, well, gosh, they're a good person. And, oh, so my time is less valuable than theirs, clearly, right? So I give everybody around me a free pass. Like, yeah, he does things I don't like, but we'll give him a free pass because I can handle that. It could be worse, right? Or I'll just do this because it'll be fast. And at no point during our days do I say, God, you know what? I just want to go get a massage, or I just want a day off where I don't have to deal with anybody's crap. That just doesn't happen for us because you're in some sort of a hyper-aware mode after you lose a child. Like, everything the other kids say, whether it's implied or not implied, I'm going to read into it. I'm going to forever question. I'm going to want to do take care of all this stuff for them so I don't have to do this again. You got to learn to let go of that. I have to learn to let go of it and let them live so I can live. And that means I have to learn to take care of myself first.
And I mean, even still having a family, that's hard to do because as a parent, we're always giving to our family, whether it's our spouse or our children or, you know, our not immediate family. But one of my relatives made the comment to me the other day about, I said something about, are you going there? And they're like, yeah, I'm not sure. And he said, but I bet you are. And I said, well, why would you say that? He said, because you feel like you have to do everything. And it made me kind of pause a little bit. And part of me, I do. I feel like, you know, I need to be there to support this or support that, but yet I don't always show up to support myself. And it is, that's a challenge. It's hard to do. But I think we had talked about we need to find that balance. And I think we need to allow other people to be accountable for their actions as well. I don't need to take on everybody's stuff. It's hard to find that balance, but I am learning to do that.
Well, I think some part of it, we're learning out of necessity because, I mean, I've talked to my sister yesterday, and I said, everybody wants something. Everybody needs me to do something. I said, man, if your happiness depends on me, you're screwed because I don't have it. I don't have anything left to give. I am tapped out. I am just hanging on. I'm getting through the days. I'm not sleeping. I'm not going to the gym. I'm not taking care of me. I have zero time to myself. I'm like, teetering right here on the edge of just completely losing my shit on someone. And God bless the poor soul that it actually happens on, because it's so not going to be their fault. It's just going to all come out at one time. But I just, she looked at me and she said, it's funny because she's going through things in her own life too. And we were just talking about that. And I said, I just don't have anything left to give. I'm just done. I'm exhausted. And she said, look at how, not in a bad way, but she said, look at how unhappiness has aged you this year. She said, it's aged mom, it's aged you. She said, our family is just, we're looking so wore down. And I'm driving home and I'm like, God damn it. I thought I looked good today. And I look in the mirror, I'm like, how bad do I really look? But I don't see it day to day. But if I look at a picture of myself a year and a half ago, and even a picture of me and my brother-in-law 2 years ago, before, 3 years ago, before we lost all the kids, we looked like babies, you know? And you don't notice that when one eye wrinkle will sneak in, and then it's four. And I think it's completely because we don't put ourselves first. I don't focus on, like, I'm just sleeping. Or, you know, if someone's snoring like a chainsaw and I can't sleep, I don't get out of the goddamn bed and go sleep somewhere else where I know where I would clearly sleep better. I just don't. And I think I'm just tapped out. You almost have to come to that breaking point. Tapped out, I'm done. So this past weekend, I did. I did everything I wanted to do by myself. And I think everybody had a little bit of shock. Nobody knows. They think I've lost it. They think I'm off the deep end because I'm doing my own thing. But I have to find a balance. I have to find somewhere where I can find some peace for myself.
And just for the listeners who may just be joining us, Tricia, you're just a year out in February. I am 9 months, I believe it is now. So we're in a little bit of a different spot, but I still feel like some of the other parents that we've talked to are kind of here too. And they may be 5 years out, they may be 10 years out. And I think learning to forgive yourself and just saying, you know, it's okay. This is how it needs to be. And this is how it's going to be is important. It's not that we're being jerks. It's not that we're, you know, trying to give somebody else our job or our duties, but sometimes you just have to let it go.
And we talked a lot, like when we met at the hotel, we talked about Morgan's last day here, and there's some things over that day that I still haven't reconciled with myself. She texted me, don't call me. I didn't call her because I listened to her, so I have guilt there. And I have a coworker that is a very private guy. He's not somebody that generally talks about stuff. And that morning, it must have been right around 8:30, 8:15. He looked at me and he said, how did Morgan's weekend go? Because he knew we were doing some shoveling, shifting and moving stuff around. And he knew it was going to be hard for her. And he directly looked at me and asked me a question about her, which was very out of character for him. And, like, I didn't feel red flags. I didn't feel like, oh, God, you know, something's going on. And coincidentally, that's about the exact same time that's on her death certificate. It was very odd that he would even ask me about her because it's just not his forte. And it didn't bring red flags to me. And one of the hardest things that I'm not there, I don't know how to get there, is that day she was outside all day. She passed in the morning, was outside all day. That day was a strange day at work. I don't even know what was going on. But my girls that worked for me were just goofy as all get out. And we laughed so hard that afternoon. To this day, even last week, I had a meltdown about it. Because she was dying. And I was laughing. There's something that's not right there. Like, inside me, I think that I should have known. Or I should have felt it. I shouldn't have been being happy while she was not, you know. She was gone and I was laughing. And then I can't reconcile that and I'm not there. I'll get there, I know. But that one's going to take a while.
I think if you go back to your faith, I think there's always that protection there. That it tries to protect us so that we don't maybe sometimes feel what, I don't know how I'm trying to say that. I look at it as grief. You get it in waves. It's not always given to you at once. And maybe that was a gift to you, that you had that laughter, because that's the day a lot of things changed. From there, things got pretty dark. And maybe that was just kind of the way of, you know, and maybe she was in heaven already at that point. And it was rejoicing. It was, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I have to find the positives in those, because if you don't, it just eats you alive.
Yeah, it will. And I think, like, all day that day passed, and it was just a goofy off day. My coworkers are very funny girls, and we did it. We had a great day. And I got in my car, and I called her phone, and she didn't answer on the first call. And I think that's when I got the first, ooh, something's not right. And, like, I called her 4 or 5 times, and she hadn't answered, and I went right to my son's house. And then, like, every minute that passed, then the a mom knows kicked in. You know, I knew she was, something was wrong, that something had happened, and it was bad. Within an hour, like, I just knew she was gone. But I will probably beat myself up for a long time about enjoying that day so much. And she had already passed. So that's one of my big stickers that I'm stuck at and that I haven't forgiven myself for. And I don't know how, but I'll figure it out. I think one of the other things is how we change. And this is after she's gone. Like, not before. There's a lot of things before that we'll work through, but it's after. And it's not in direct relation to Morgan, not forgiving myself for Morgan, but I have 2 other children that have lost the mom that they know because I'm different. There's no way not to be different. So I think there's something there. Paige must have said to me, I don't know, if we were out a couple months, 3 months, 4 months. And I was definitely in a very ugly place, very down, very withdrawn. And she said, you loved her more than you love us. Well, that's a slam. Like, that one hits you right in the chops. I said, that's not true. And she said, it is. You're so miserable because she's gone, but we're here. And you're not loving us. That was her cry, that she needed me to be mom. She needed me to stand up and take care of her. And there was an eye-opener for me. Like, I'm worried about all the things I should forgive myself for Morgan. But there's that hole you fall in, and you forget you have a life to live. And so I still have a little bit of guilt, because I did kind of check out on my kids when they needed me more than they've ever needed me. So I have that forgiveness. You know, I just have to get through that.
So my question to you on that then is, do you feel like at this point, since that was an eye-opener, that you have made some positive changes and you have now recognized that to better that situation?
I think on that, at that time, it was a definite sign to me, like, everything in your day-to-day life can't focus on Morgan. As much as everything inside you is in turmoil and it's hurting, like it's a hurt like you've never felt before, you have to put that away. You have to put it aside for the other 2 kids, and you have to make sometimes just about them. So now I'm better at that. You know, I can call the kids or go see Chance or take Paige out for a day, and it's not about Morgan. It is all about them. It's hard because for a mom, that's still, that piece is missing. That piece that would normally be there is missing. So you're trying to reconcile that in your head. But I've learned to enjoy the times that I have with them now, just for them and who they are. And I don't know that I've forgiven myself for how they felt initially when they needed me. I feel like I have to make that up to them. That's probably not really how it has to work.
And I think, you know, we talked about that in one of our earlier episodes too, is That's hard, because when you're in that grief, you're just on survival mode, and it's hard when you have other children. And thankfully, you know, we, I think, both had a pretty good support team, and there were other people, you know, if we needed help with the other kids or making sure that they were getting the attention that they needed, thank God, because I emotionally wasn't there either. Is that tough? Yeah, it's tough, but it is what it is. Do I need to ask for forgiveness for that? I don't know. I feel like I shouldn't have to, but yet that guilt kind of overrides that at times. And says,
I think they understand it and they get it, but we feel like we have to ask for forgiveness for it, and we probably don't.
And that just might be our controlling personalities too. I don't know.
And what else do you have you think that we think we need forgiven for or that we feel bad for?
You know, I look at, for Brittany, I mean, she suffered a lot of, goodness, I'm drawing a blank. She suffered a lot as far as her illnesses, her diagnoses. And I mean, in the early days, there was a lot of days where I just thought, you know, she's faking it. She's sleeping all the time. This is teenager crap. And just come on, get up and do something. And looking at all of her health issues that she did have, you know, I didn't recognize it to the point that I do today, or even 5 years ago. And I kind of feel guilty about that, but not knowing, not having the answers. And the other thing is, you know, when she graduated early, she went to college, started off at one college, it was too big. So then she went to another college and she kept changing her majors. And part of that was because of her health and not allowing her to do the things that she wanted to do. And, you know, I kind of got to that point where it's like, just finish a degree, you know, get your, I think she was in college, I want to say like 4 years and off and on, and she still didn't have her 2-year degree. And I'm like, dude, we need to do something here. And she didn't feel like it was necessary. And one of the things I found out after she died, I was going through some emails and stuff, and I found that she actually did have her 2-year degree. She just needed one class from one of the colleges to flip it over, and she did ask for it, and she had taken the class. And so I got her AA degree in the mail not too long ago. And I just think, you know, did I push her too hard? Did I do these things? And again, you're going back to that what ifs and the whys. And I don't want to dwell on it because really it serves me no purpose. I can't change it again. But there are things that I've had to forgive myself for. And again, it boils down to she made the choice. She didn't ask for help, at least not from me. I do know that there were people that she reached out to in hindsight. And then, you know, the forgiving part, why didn't she reach out to me? Did she think I was going to judge? Did she think I would, you know, get her help? Did she think I wouldn't get her help? Again, it's a mind game, and it's not a game I want to play.
It's not one we can ever win, for sure. Just have to... it's just as a learn as you go, and we just have to find peace in the good things we had and sort through the other stuff and deal with it. We talked about that this morning. There were some times where Morgan was always a very responsible teenager. She was always had it, you know, was good at going to work and whatever, but, you know, something happened. She moved to Omaha with some friends, and something happened in Omaha. She would never tell us the real deal, but she started to fall apart there. And something was never the same with her. And she went through a few months where she was really slipping. And I can remember a couple conversations I said, God, get your shit together, you know? And I just rode her ass sometimes. And she eventually did. And she rebounded from it. But now I'm looking back and like, what happened, you know? And my husband and myself both, we set her down, and like, Morgan, something is off. What's going on? And she was so tight-lipped, she was not going to say. Now that she's gone, and we read through some of her stuff, we know what happened, and I feel guilty because I didn't push her further, or I didn't push her to get some help when she was there, or that I couldn't just tell. You know, you'd think, oh, we're superhuman, we should just be able to tell. We can punish ourselves for that. We can't tell. So I was pretty harsh with her on some conversations that I wish I wasn't. But then again, you know, I have notes from her saying, if you weren't the mom you were, I wouldn't have ever been the person I was. I don't know. There's no perfect parenting. There's no guidebook to that. There's no guidebook to recovering from this sort of thing. So just fumble through it and sort it out one piece at a time. But I think we definitely carry a lot more on us than we have to, or that they would ever expect us to carry.
And I think, you know, going back to some of the ways to forgive yourself, you know, just focus on your emotions and what you're feeling, and acknowledgement. I think that's a huge part of that, is being able to acknowledge and learn from it. We can't keep carrying the guilt. It is what it is. It's not going to change, like you said. And you have to give yourself permission to just let it be.
If it was, you know, like, I watch Morgan's son, and some days he's so alive, and he sees the world differently. You know, he knows she's gone, but he still lives every day to the fullest. So how easy it would be to be a little kid, right? But I know a few months ago we talked about this. I was in that really yucky, you know, it comes and goes, definitely. But I was sitting on the couch crying, and he just started talking, and he was sitting on my lap, and he says, "Oh, no." And it always sounds so terrible. "Oh, no." And Grandpa laughed, and I thought to myself, this is not the picture I want him to always remember. Oh, my grandma always cried. Like, she was always crying. Like, he'll do something funny or something that is like, oh, like a milestone, and I'm crying. That's not how it's supposed to work. And when he did that day, he's like, "Oh, no." And he touched my cheek, and I thought, "All right, Trisha, get your shit together. This is not the memory you want him to have, that I cried at everything or that I was always sad." And so that's kind of sometimes how I remind myself, like, you live every day like you're a little kid, like it's something new every day.
So I think the challenge for today that I would like to give to our listeners is find a way to forgive yourself. You know, show up, put some acknowledgement to those things that you're feeling, and just love yourself, forgive yourself, go out and do something for yourself. And
that may be something for the burn book, right?
There you go.
The burn book is, you know, you write it down on a piece of paper. This is what I need forgiveness for. And you burn it, put it in the burn book. Once it's burnt, it's gone. You got to let it go.
Well, I think, do you have anything else for today?
Nope. I think it's good. It would be interesting, though, like, if you guys that are listening have things that you think you need help with forgiveness on, or ways that you got through this part of the journey and how you forgive yourself for those things, definitely drop us a message. I would love to hear it so we can talk about it, because we're new. We're very new. And even though I think I'm a year out, that's nothing. We just started. So we're very new, and we'd love to hear what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, because what works for you may not work for me, but what works for you may work for someone else. So, yes, definitely. Please share, and please continue to contact us and let us know what you think, and if you have any questions as well. So, thanks for joining us, and hope to see you for episode 10 pretty soon. Have a great day.
We look forward to it. Bye.
If you or someone you know is in crisis or struggling with mental health or suicidal thoughts, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. You can also find resources at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.